Good day and welcome to another Tivoli Talk. Today we will be speaking to you about our newest release of IVM Maximo for Oil and Gas version 7.1. My name is Terry Ray and I am the Strategy and Product Management Lead for the oil and gas industry. I'll spend a few minutes highlighting our product in the context of the industry, and then Russell B., our product architect, will offer a much deeper insight into our current product. If you turn to slide number 2, you will see that today's presentation consists of 3 parts. First of all, some insights into market forces driving the need for change, a product overview of IVM Maximo for oil and gas, and we will conclude with some pointers on where one can go for additional resources. You turn to slide number 3. Many of you know that each year IVM conducts a global CEO study. This year's study tells us that innovation and global integration are top of mind for CEOs. This kind of environment will require organizations to be able to move quickly, and the 5 traits of organizations today highlighted by the study include that companies are hungry for change, and over 80% of the CEOs expect substantial change over the next 3 years. Also, they must be globally integrated. 75% of the CEOs are actively entering new markets. Companies must be genuine but not generous. 69% of CEOs believe rising customer expectations of corporate social responsibility will positively impact their business. Companies also must be innovative beyond customer imagination, and here 76% of the CEOs see opportunity in more informed and collaborative customers. And finally, that companies must be disruptive by nature, in that 69% of the CEOs are planning some type of business model innovation over the next 3 years. Chemicals and petroleum CEOs specifically strive to optimize global operations, 91% of C&P versus 70% overall, with this biggest barrier around skills shortage, 74% in the C&P industry versus 57% overall. Factors cited include the demand pressures and supply uncertainty, climate change and geopolitical pressures on refining margins and operation safety, the aging workforce, and finally, collaborative production operations. We turn to slide number 4. The market forces driving the chemicals and petroleum industry to transform cover many key aspects, such as economic pressures, things around the growth in energy demand, technology, advances in real-time collaborative decision-making. In the area of operations, here the persistent silos in companies have challenged operational decisions. The area around risk management, where regulatory and compliance pressures continue. And finally, in the environmental area, which includes health, safety, and environment, commonly referred to HS&E. As energy costs continue to rise and we continue to experience climate change, there will be greater demand for oil and gas, along with pressures across all industries for operations that are environmentally friendly. Turning to slide number 5. As noted on slide 5, I think that we all agree that innovation and agility are keys to winning in the C&P market. The industry's strategic objectives or mandates are to increase reserve recovery, reduce operating expenses, manage risk for environment and safety, deliver feedstock to downstream efficiently, enhance production flexibility, and finally, to improve asset utilization. The global CEO study found that 91% of C&P CEOs interviewed strive to optimize operations globally. In order to achieve this, the companies are looking to make smarter actions based on real-time advanced analysis of asset performance using KPIs that drive predictive maintenance. By doing this, the results are optimized production and reduced asset management costs. Turning to slide number 6, as illustrated here, the chemical and petroleum companies are not only looking for but responding to innovating solutions in order to meet their strategic objectives. Today, we will drill deeper into one of those key solution areas known as asset management. I'm very pleased at this time to turn the session over to Russell B., our oil and gas product architect. Russell has been leading our development efforts for the past 5 years. Russell?
Thank you, Terry. So I'll be picking up the agenda here from slide 7. I work in the Maximo development team. I'm the architect responsible for the design of the oil and gas product. And today I'm going to talk to you with about the benefits and the key features of Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1. I'm going to give you a refresh on the existing features and then focus most of my time on the new features available in the Maximo 7.1, Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1. So if you could turn to slide 8, please. Here is a summary of an update for you on the existing customers of Maximo Oil and Gas. This is a subset of our customer base now. We have something close to 40 customers who have purchased Maximo Oil and Gas. So that's customers who have purchased the industry solution, not just oil and gas customers. And you can see here that there's a cross-section from all sectors and from all geographies. And could also add to this list Alinta, who are Gas Pipeline Australia, who first customer in the in Australia. From a sales perspective, I think the important thing that this emphasizes is that the design of our oil and gas solution is intended to cover all sectors of the industry. So it's really oil and gas and petrochemicals. It's upstream, downstream, and midstream, sort of LNG type operations. And you'll also see retail customers here. It's always been our design focus to be generic across sectors, and there may be one or two of the features that are specific to a particular sector. But with our design to date, we've talked to and listened to customers from all sectors of the industry, and as far as we can, come up with designs which are cross-sector. So if you're in a customer situation, I think you can sort of emphasize that this solution is something that you can apply in many different sectors and geographies, and the evidence is here of customers in these different sectors and geography who have purchased the solution. If you could turn to the next slide, please, which is slide 9. This is a slide that we've developed recently, which is a useful sort of summary in one page at a high level view if you need to give a view of what's behind Maximo Oil and Gas and the main content of the solution. Sort of work quite closely with people out in the field to develop this view of the world, and it seems to work very well out there with a customer. The approach of this slide is to sort of start from the business and the business drivers in our industry, risk, regulatory compliance, performance, always of course HSE, health, safety, and the environment, and the market that drives our oil and gas customers as well. And the thing that we want to emphasize with this slide is that the on the left-hand side, you have the sort of more traditional areas of Maximo around procurement and work management, materials management. And then on the right-hand side, you have the sort of operational applications that we've introduced as part of Maximo Oil and Gas, many of which are based on modifications of the service desk applications into a process environment. So here you have, for example, you have incidents, investigations, improvements, change, and action on that change. And this is a good way of illustrating that what we've seen out there in the field is an increasing convergence between the sort of maintenance world and the operational world, and that the that Maximo Oil and Gas is designed to support. So, so there are many features, and I'll point some of these out as we go through some of the detail of areas where the Maximo Oil and Gas can support the operations community as well as the more traditional maintenance community. As you work your way down the slide, what you'll see here is it's highlighting the main areas of cost, resource management, planning and scheduling, and then operations management. Some of our customers referring to these as sort of operational management systems it's something we've seen quite a lot in response to some of the issues out there, like such as Texas City. Beneath this slide then is sort of a breakdown of existing Maximo applications and oil and gas applications. So maybe not something you would want to talk through in detail, but just to sort of emphasize the actual, what are the applications across both Maximo and the oil and gas content within there, that support these operational and maintenance processes. And then below that, just highlighting that there's a wide range of assets that we can support here: production assets, facilities, transportation assets can be supported possibly in combination with oil and gas and Maximo transportation, IT assets, pipelines, and drilling and completion, which is an area where increasingly we're starting to see people also start to use Maximo in that part, where traditionally they've sort of had standalone systems. There is a what we see is a growing trend for to be able to incorporate these sort of assets into an overall Maximo system. Sort of supporting this at the very bottom of the slide, the two standards ISO 14224, bound reliability reporting, which is now a API standard, American Petroleum Institute standards API 689. And then the slide's completed by sort of reporting on the left and showing the key integrations that typically would be out there in a solution, so Primavera, ERP, real-time systems, engineering systems, and project GIS systems. So spent a little time on that slide, but it's the sort of thing that you can use to summarize in front of a customer in a nutshell without going through a lengthy presentation as to what's driving and what's there within Maximo Oil and Gas. So if we could now turn to slide 10, this slide just illustrates that this is a Maximo Oil and Gas is a product with a multiple phase release cycle. Our current production release is 6.3, internally referred to as ZACM, and the release that is about to be launched is the main subject of this Tivoli talk. IBM Maximo for Oil and Gas 7.1, internally referred to as Permian. And we'll be rolling straight onto the development of our future releases, which have the internal designation Zaihu and Tambo. So the oil and gas team is already starting work on the design and planning of our next release. We could move over to slide 11. This summarizes the content of our major releases so far. So our first release on the left, Maximo Oil and Gas, started as Maximo Oil and Gas 6.1. 6.2 was the version that was what we would refer to as a blue wash, with the badging and positioning as an IBM solution. And then followed up by Maximo Oil and Gas 6.3, which started to introduce the some new applications sort of focused on operational management system there that you can see in this list around incident, defects, investigations. And I'm going to give a refresh on these applications shortly. And then our Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1 release, which introduces features around action tracking, management of change, and support for the latest version of ISO 14224, the 2006 version, which a lot of customers have been asking for, as well as migrating the existing applications into Maximo 6.3 applications into Maximo 7.1. So if you could turn to slide 12, and I'm going to quickly refresh on the contents of the existing applications, starting with failure codes. So here is where we're providing content with the solution, and we provide both asset failure codes and asset specifications, which will be covered in the next slide. So I'll talk about the two together, though. And this is content from ISO 14224. We pay IPR in the data that we extract from the ISO 14224. We pay an annual fee for that IPR, intellectual property right. And you know, that's something, you know, a value add that we provide to customers so that they, you know, they have the right to use the data that is we extract from the standard and include in our product. So this is not a sort of a runtime application. It's something that we provide a means of loading through our organization's oil application. But the data is there delivered with Maximo Oil and Gas for both industry standard failure codes and asset specifications. So we're populating the failure data within Maximo, classification data and the equipment classes with the industry standard data. And this is the very latest data, which is in the Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1, which will be according to ISO 14224-2006 in the first two releases of our solution. We only supported the 1999 version. Since we released, this standard has been adopted by the American Petroleum Institute, which we sort of see as a very positive sign. And API 689 is actually equivalent to ISO 14224-2006, which has an extensive revision of the failure classes and asset specifications that were contained in the original standard. So there's more detail on the asset specifications on slide 13. I believe you could move on to slide 14. This is summarizes what we have in what we've referred to broadly as sort of location details. And what we did here is actually provide additional information in the two additional tabs in locations for locations details and operating context. And some of this information we transfer over to the work order as a work details tab. So what we've pulled together here is a lot of information that we see customers regularly adding to the location, and so they can have a less customized location application by adding in these two new tabs and the crossing over key information onto the work order. And a lot of this is about the sort of hazardous area type of information, taxonomies, reflecting physical location in the plant, operating context, much more strategic and reliability-focused maintenance data, sort of all part of a steady drive to make our solution more reliability and availability-focused. If we move to the next slide, which is slide 15, There were some important additions that we made to the Azakam release, Maximo Oil and Gas 6.3, which was to put the very latest taxonomy level definitions from the international standard 14224 into the application. And we also introduced production loss reporting on the work order and on the location, and with a new application which you'll see referred to later as benefits and losses. And this is something that many of our customers have been asking us to do, to actually be able on the work order to, if you actually, while you're doing maintenance work, to be able to look at a predefined loss for a location, if you sort of know the approximate production rate that you can fit to a location, or on a work order, if there's a loss associated with the work, then you can record that loss. And what a lot of companies will also do is to record near-miss losses as well. So it doesn't actually have to be an actual loss. If there's a near-miss loss, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from a near-miss, which companies want to capture. So we've provided that capability of production loss reporting against the work order. And has the potential to reduce losses associated with maintenance work, and sort of compliant with what we feel is what we see out there as a sort of best practice in the industry, to be able to record these production losses associated with maintenance work. Move on to now to slide 16, the prioritization matrix, which is, we've seen about half of our oil and gas customers use matrix-based systems of work prioritization, which is a complex thing to build into standard Maximo. So it's something we felt we could add a lot of value by incorporating this within oil and gas. So it basically allows you to build a matrix into Maximo, a predefined matrix of priorities based on the asset or location priority and the reason that you're doing the work. So if you're doing safety-related work on a most critical equipment, this matrix will highlight that work would be of greater priority than, say, if the reason for work was a sort of housekeeping type of activity on low criticality equipment. So what often happens out in the field is that people make their own decisions on what's important, and that may not necessarily be the decision that the company would wish people to make in a predefined way. So it takes a lot of that individual judgment out of the prioritization of work and allows the maintenance group to prioritize work in accordance with pre-agreed criteria. So critical assets are given the priority for maintenance, and it's taking their emotion out of criticality decisions. The next slide 17, describes our regulatory compliance application, which was something which has been a strong driver from all our customers, and to be able to associate regulations with work that they do. So Maximo Oil and Gas introduces a new object called the regulations object, and you can define the regulations which you carry out work against, and these regulations could also be in support of a safety case, for example. Important use case for us. So you can associate regulations with assets, with job plans, with locations, or straight onto the work order. And having then made those associations, whenever you do work which calls up that asset that has a regulation or a job plan or a location, the regulations will automatically be applied to the work order. And if necessary, a user can add a regulation directly onto the work order as well. So from a compliance reporting perspective, it greatly simplifies the ability to record the regulations which you carried out work against, and there is a new tab on the work order that lists these regulations. So it's supporting the identification of compliance and simplifying the work required to be able to demonstrate that compliance. And this is an application that we're seeing almost all our customers make use of in some way. The enhancements that we made in our second release of oil and gas, I mentioned the support of subsections of regulations as well as regulation itself, which something was a customer-driven enhancement, and also the ability to identify those regulations specifically related to safety cases. And in some cases, you could relate this directly to what some of our customers would classify as performance standards in support of safety cases. And we improved the debug functionality to speed data entry, and we also added log and where use tabs to very quickly allow a user to identify where these regulations have been used. So all of that, all part of a steady drive to improve our ability to support compliance. If you could move to slide 19, this application condition for work is designed to support the planning process, and what it will do is there are sort of two major ways that you would use this. It allows you to pull together within Maximo conditions that work where it's associated with an asset in a certain condition. So, for example, if a condition for work to change a safety valve is that you have to shut a plant down, you can define that condition for work and then place it against a job plan, and that will follow through if that job plan is put onto the work order, or again, you can go straight onto the work order. And you can have many different conditions for work you define. A plant shutdown, a train shutdown, associated conditions like the valve has to safety valve has to be depressurized, for example. And what this allows a planner to do or a scheduler is to pull together. If they're planning a shutdown or a plant or a train, they can easily pull together all the work associated with that plant shutdown. In addition to that, if they get an unanticipated shutdown of the plant, they can very quickly go into Maximo, find all the work that, say you had a train shutdown, very quickly find the work that is already, the work orders that are already defined for that train shutdown. And if they're in a situation where they're approved and ready to go, you can take the opportunity to, while the train is shut down for repair temporarily, you can find that other work and go in and carry that work and have it and take the opportunity to do that maintenance work. We could now go to the next slide, which introduces the applications which were in our new applications in our 6.3. And this is where we're moving to support this sort of convergence between maintenance and operations management, and introducing applications that support organizational learning and process safety management, or some people would refer that to some health, safety, and environmental applications. And what we were seeing out there in the industry was that the people were have many sort of individual applications in this area, often disconnected with Maximo, and so there was an opportunity to actually sort of merge some of these applications and have sort of greater control of the individual applications in this space. And if you look at, say, the Baker report on the refining industry in the US, it sort of highlighted in many cases that things were sometimes being done and issues where sort of the disconnection of information and sort of lessons that should have been learned weren't necessarily being learned. And this is a way of actually sort of integrating your work management with your operational management systems. And the quote here is from a guy called Chris Agaris, who many of our oil and gas customers actually have sort of referenced that work, that you actually can create conditions that influence how people, the action that people take. And if we turn on to slide 21, what we've often seen is that it's sort of latent conditions created by maintenance lapses that can set an accident or an incident sequence in motion or threaten its recovery. And Jim Reason in his work talks about the ability, the technical competence of an organization, very closely related to the quality of an organization's safety information system. So this is where a system like Maximo Oil and Gas can support steps that the company takes to improve its performance in this area. It's closely related to both people and process change as well, but the quality of the system itself is important in supporting the effective performance in this area. If we could now move to forward to slide 22 and talk in a little bit of detail briefly about these applications, starting with incident oil. So what we've done here is taken a lot of the service desk-based applications, amended them and added to them to make them more appropriate for use in a process environment. So we've in many cases amended these existing applications, or we've introduced new applications as well where there is sort of a gap. An example of this would be the continuous improvement application that we've introduced as a new application for oil and gas. So there is a sequence of these applications, and incident oil is the first of them, and this is a sort of a general purpose incident reporting system. It can be used for HSE reporting. It could be used for reporting of incidents of any kind. So key business value and benefit of that is the ability to support improved process safety management, environmental management. Moving to slide 23, you see that there's also a defects application. What we found with our customers is some of our customers some customers associate incident reporting very much in the process safety management HSC context, but others sort of want to report any sort of incidents associated with it, with equipment, and a lot of our customers were referring to this as defect reporting. So we've introduced a new defects reporting, which is basically a simplified incident application to allow customers to do their defect reporting within Maximo. Now, we've worked with people out there with operational experience who would suggest that, for any given work order, you could have several defects. So not every defect becomes a work order, and the very best practice out there in the industry would be that to be able to manage and address defects before they become incidents. So this is something that we've seen. You'll see with a lot of oil and gas customers that they have defect elimination teams, defect elimination programs. So one of the questions you should be looking at is, in this area, as well as the sort of HSE use of these applications, we can support sort of the defect elimination processes, linking that into a continuous improvement process, which might well be associated with the defect elimination. So this is an area for you to look if you're sort of talking to your customers, listening to them. One of the questions would be, what are you doing about defect elimination? What are you doing about process management? And then this is a very good way in to be able to support the customer processes in this area. We then move to slide 24. This is our investigations oil, and this is a we took the existing problems application and converted it into investigations, and there were quite a lot of changes that needed to be made in a process context here. And we've introduced the ability to support root cause failure analysis, after action reviews, which is a sort of a learning process we see many oil and gas customers, and multiple lessons learned as well. Being able to record lessons learned from an after-action review against an investigation. So basically, an investigation is an unresolved incident or defect. You can then move from that from that incident or defect into an investigation where you're conducting a more intensive investigation into what happened. This can be both positive. You know, an after action review can be something that went well as something that went wrong, and what, you know, there are lessons to be learned from something that goes well as something that has become a problem. So it can be used both ways. So one of the big reasons for the change from investigation to from problem to investigation is that investigation is a more positive language that we found our customers generally preferred. So again, it's part of improving process safety management and organizational learning is also a major benefit of this application. We move on to slide 25, which is Solutions Oil. This is the repository here where we've significantly extended this application to the existing solutions application to be a repository for solutions and lessons learned, be able to associate benefits with those solutions, and to have the sort of governance processes which are required there, that if solutions are going to be deployed, we found that pretty well all our oil and gas customers wanted the deployments of those solutions to be to have a level of governance. So we've introduced that capability into the application. So here, customers who have issues that Terry talked about around sort of the great crew change, the demographic changes in our industry, and the issues around sort of knowledge management and retention of learning within an organisation. Part of that process of supporting that within Maximo Oil and Gas. We could now move on to the next slide, which is slide 26. This is our improvement application. So there is a sort of a natural chain of applications that you'll see here. So an incident or an investigation may well lead into an improvement. Customers who have a sort of Six Sigma a continuous improvement process could also use this application as a sort of an ideas management system to manage improvements, as well as linking them into incidents or investigations. These applications are designed to work together, but they can also be used on a standalone basis. We've not forced the interconnection between these applications. So in a demonstration environment, sort of, I think what you have to be careful of here is that you sort of, particularly where you've got users involved, there is quite a lot of functionality available here, but you sort of have to be careful how you and emphasize that you can just use parts of this that are specific to a particular user. So, you know, most users might need to report defects, but for example, probably only a subset of users would be involved in investigations. So that's something that we've noticed out in the field, that when presenting and talking to customers is important to emphasize. And from a sales engineering perspective, often you would need to show a configured view of these applications so that to emphasize that a user can just use what they need to use and doesn't have to be able to see and work with every application here. That would only be the more advanced users. But for customers who have a sort of continuous improvement process, this is something where we can sort of add a lot of value in terms of supporting that continuous improvement mechanisms. This is the place where you could link into a defect elimination. The continuous improvement application has a capability to manage improvement projects that arise as part of a defect elimination process, or just as part of a process of continuous improvement. If an idea is improved and goes into a committee project, then you can set up the sort of continuous improvement team or defect elimination team within this application. Moving on to slide 27, benefits and losses. We talked about loss reporting earlier and benefits associated with a solution. You can also associate benefits with an improvement. So, if you've got an idea for an improvement, does it improve risk? Does it address safety issues? Does it reduce costs? Does it reduce production losses? So, Benefits and Losses is the place where you can record your production loss reporting, and you can also associate benefits. So you've sort of got a dual role use of this application in terms of loss reporting and the addition of the definition of benefits that can then be used in the continuous improvements in the solutions application. So you can use this to drive improvements in plant availability, and a lot of our customers are interested in and focused on business benefits. So again, here, sort of, you know, look for an interest in the customer in loss reporting, the ability to, you know, manage the benefits. So it's not just doing something, but within Maximo, being able to actually identify benefits and then track the implementation of those benefits. Are we actually delivering? For example, if you have a continuous improvement project, you might have some planned benefits, but you can actually also record the actual benefits of that improvement. So that covers the existing applications, and now I'd like to turn to the new applications in Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1. So what we've done here is actually both migrated our existing oil and gas applications into 7.1 and taken advantage of some of the new features that are available in 7.1. And then we've introduced new features as well. So I think one of the important points I'd like to point out here is the configuration item capability that is now in Maximo 7. And what we've done is that we potentially see our oil and gas customers being able to make use of configuration items and the associated capability to define relationships between configuration items that will support both our message of the convergence of operational and IT assets, and also sort of move a step forward in terms of reliability and availability recording as well. So in terms of the convergence, in an oil and gas plant, you have many assets which are managed by the operations and not IT, which are effectively IT assets. You've got a lot of equipment that has IP addresses out there as well. But, for example, your DCS systems, your ESD systems, your SCADA systems, your fire and gas systems are all sort of IT assets that can be modeled as configuration items. And we see this as something that we very strongly supporting our message of convergence, and there where we could potentially add a lot of value. The other aspect of this in terms of defining that relations with between assets is that, you know, it's very analogous, the strong analogies between the domain, the IT domain and the process domain. So a network of servers and their associated networks and the software that's running within those servers can be actually modeled in a very similar way to, say, a process gas train or a gas separator train, so that you've got relationships that a compressor feeds a refrigeration unit, compressors may exist in parallel. So now you can start to model those relationships, and we can build on that in future by actually starting to from a reliability and availability perspective, to see that the way these key assets relate to one another. But the other aspect of in terms of modeling of assets in 7.1 is the linear asset option, which we see that a lot of our customers will be able to take up. And this is not a standard part of oil and gas 7.1, but it's an option that's available to any Maximo 7.1 customer to take up. But we see that as something that the many customer oil and gas customers will want to do. In terms of new applications, the first application I would like to refer to is on slide 29. This is our action tracking application. So you've seen that we had a sequence of applications here, which was the sort of defects, incidents, investigations, improvements. So an improvement might be a regulatory improvement that needs to be tracked as an action, regulatory work maybe that's required as a result of an internal or external review, which is something that has to be done. And this is an issue we've seen out there in the industry, that people have standard action tracking, standalone action tracking systems. They have spreadsheets, they have dedicated systems, they have a database. It's often not linked in to the actual originating action. And what's happened out there is in the industry is that sometimes these actions get missed, and the result, there's much evidence of this leading to incidents and accidents on oil and gas plants. So we've introduced action tracking as the end result of this sort of sequence of applications that sort of support a business process that allow you to ensure that actions are tracked and dealt with. And then in association with workflow and the escalations application, you've got a capability to track the work that may be associated with a follow-up from an investigation, or we use the use case here of a HSE audit, where that might be part of a license to operate. So if action needs to be taken, that work needs to be completed, you really have to track that very closely and ensure it's implemented. And this is a way of modeling those actions and then seeing that they're seen through into completion. There is an ability within this application to support a campaign approach where, for example, if you have a safety notification that is referring to a certain type of safety valve, you can very quickly find that equipment, set up your campaign of action, and monitor the completion of the work against that action to ensure that it is completed. And if it's not being completed within the time that it needs to be, using escalations, you can, for example, initially eliminate it maybe to the plant manager, and then you could beyond that escalate further to a level of executive management. So it's driving the implementation of business critical actions is the key business value here. We could move forward to slide 30. I'm just going to show you briefly some of the main screens involved here. So there is a main screen where you set up and create the actions. And then these actions are built up by work packages, which may be existing work orders. They could be new work orders. They could be PMs, which have been identified as being that need to be generated and tracked and as a business critical action. So you set up a series of work packages in this application, and there is a capability if the data is set up here that it's not shown in the screenshot, but under the status summary you'll get a summary of the status of all these work orders associated with the action, and you'd be able to very quickly see how many are complete at which status, and you're driving towards 100% completion here, but very quickly get a visual view of the status of the action. We go on next to slide 32. Important part of the action tracking process is setting up reviews. So here you would set up either departments or individuals who would be responsible for the review of the action, and you can set dates for those reviews, and you can notify people of their responsibility for review. And here you set up, it's a one-to-many relationship where you can set up many reviews for a single action. And there is also an action tracking log tab to sort of log progress against actions as well. So a lot of work been done with this application with our users and our customers to look at usability and effective operation of this application. What I'm going to also show you next, if you go to slide 33, is the asset list screenshot. And this is where you would set up a campaign. You can give it a campaign reference. This is very here where you can very quickly find your related assets, and then you can actually, within the work package, you can pull up and create an asset list, which will create all the individual work packages for you for every individual asset here. If it's the say a campaign of in this case, we've used an example of a series of fire extinguishers, which need to be of the same type, which needed to be followed up and acted upon. So that's action tracking. Something that we see when we talk to customers, that there is strong interest in actually being able to incorporate this type of application as part of Maximo, and customers can see a benefit of having the integration between the work management system and the action tracking system. Next, I'd like to refer to slide 34, and a key aspect of this release is the introduction of a management of change capability. And we split this into two parts, a management of change request and a full management of change process. I think it would be fair to say that virtually every customer that we've spoken to has been strongly interested in management of change, and something that we, is a priority for us to be able to support within Maximo. And so customers are using management of change in two ways. They may be wanting to request a management of change, or they may want the full process. So we split this in two ways, in that you can actually initiate a management of change and integrate that with an external system, or in many cases, customers wanting to have the full process within Maximo. So we've given them the options. They can use both applications to gather change requests leading into management of change. But you'll see us use the terminology MOC, which is the for management of change, which is sort of internationally understood as as an acronym for the management of change process. We see this as a way of being able to support improved plant integrity, and this initiation of the work execution and change process is a way of supporting the further integration of maintenance and operational processes. I think the thing I would also just like to emphasize here in terms of the way this application is designed is it's not just engineering changes, it's actually operational changes, such as a good example would be the deferral of work on PM on a safety related piece of equipment, say it's a PSV, a pressure safety valve. And most of our oil and gas customers require management of change if you wish to defer that work. Looked at the out-of-the-box change application within the service desk, and there's very much sort of an IT focus on that. So what we've added here with our management of change request application is the ability to support change in more of a process environment, and you'll very much see the impact of this in our management of change application over the next few slides. So if we now turn to slide 35, here's a screenshot of the management of request application. So there is actually also a log tab associated with this management of change, so you can sort of log and it's a standard log tab in terms of work log and communication log. Very useful standard functionality that we can integrate in with the management of change request application. Turning now to slide 36, which is the describing the full management of change capability. The value of this application is sort of being able to support a greater process conformity through this integration with the work management process and the management of change process, and improving communication between operations and management. And a number of customers have introduced custom applications into Maximo, so we saw that we could add a lot of value by adding this as a standard product. and very definitely an industry, a strong trend among our customers to want to have this feature within Maximo. So when I say a sort of full cycle MOC, if we turn to slide 37, this sort of means the multiple stages of review and approve and pre-actions that our customers employ. So it's review, approve, pre-MOC, authorizing, post-MOC, closure. And we've also added some decision support around the identification of bad acting equipment as well, as part of our sort of support of organizational learning. So, and knowledge management. So if I, the management change screenshot on slide 38 is very similar to the management change request itself. Two can be used in conjunction with one another, and we quite often see in talking with customers that they have both the change request and the actual management of change itself. So this would be the point where you either could create this from a management of change request or initiate the management of change here. And then you go into the next cycle, which is something which is not there in out of the box change application, which is this multiple levels of review and approve. So here on slide 39, you have both the capability to review and approve the MOC, and you've got multiple levels of review. Almost all customers have more than one person needs to review and approve an MOC. So here you can set up and predefine the reviewers, and then they can be notified of their responsibility to review and approve a management of change request. The next stage that we see in a customer process is the actions that are required before an MOC is applied. So there is a new application called Standard Actions, which I'll cover very briefly, which supports both action tracking and MOC. But you can use that application to define a series of pre-start actions. So, for example, making sure that you've got a job safety review done and that you've got engineering approval. So you can define multiple levels of these pre-start actions that you can ensure are in place and define who has responsibility to complete these actions. If we move on to slide 41. This is the authorized tab. Not all our customers have a level of authorization beyond the pre-start actions, but many do. So here, this is the final stage where you, before a go-ahead, and you can again have multiple levels of people who would authorize the MOC to take place. We don't force customers to go through this process, so we've tried to design a high degree of flexibility in this application, not too many specific business rules. So it's not essential that a customer has a level of uses the authorization process, but we anticipate that many customers will do. What we've also introduced through the People Oil application is that something we see our customers require is the option that only certain people or persons who are authorized to actually sort of review, approve, or authorize the management of change process can actually be entered in this in here. So there is an option within the organization's oil application to select that capability to have just authorized persons being able to use in this application, and we see sort of quite many of our customers wanting to have that capability. Move on to slide 42. This is shows your post-start action. So once the MOC has been completed, for example, you want to make sure that the documentation has been completed as built. Training has been completed where necessary. Maybe calibration would need to be completed post the change as well. So some typical examples here of post-start actions. And again, you can define responsibility for the completion and sign-off of these actions. If we move on to slide 43 here. This is the MOC closure tab. So another standard part of the most customers' business processes is at the end of the MOC to make sure that everything is finished as it should be. So we carry out an automatic check on the all actions have been completed here within Maximo, and we provide the opportunity to identify that lessons have been learned, and is an after action review required. If there are, then you might well go want to create an after action review in the investigations oil application and record your lessons learned. Is the documentation associated with the MOC? Is there an improvement required? This would link into the continuous improvement application. And finally, the ability just for someone to sort of say that they've reviewed this closure and they're happy with the MOC can be closed out and fully completed. So that's separate from the normal Maximo status process that you have here, the ability to actually define that who has reviewed this closure. We also have a change log. We've actually changed the title of the standard log to be a change log, so that the as I mentioned in the MOC request, very powerful capability here within Maximo to include additional information to show the history of the change in terms of the work log, both the work log and the communications log. And in the sales situation, particularly with the sales engineer, something that sort of demonstrates very well, and that the customers really like to see this capability associated with the management of change process. And I mentioned the if you now move to slide, change log was shown in slide 44. If you move to slide 45, here is an example of our view MOC history, and we hear a lot of people in the industry talk about bad acting equipment, and one of the issues is with the demographic changes in the workforce is that sometimes the sort of knowledge and history of what were bad actors is not always in place with less experienced personnel. So what we've added here in the capability of reviewing the an MOC, and this is also in the MOC application as well, MOC request application, is the ability to view by select action very quickly look at the history of this location or this asset that is being used in the that is being as part of the MOC. So it'll look at the number of predefined failures in say in the last year. If the period is selectable by the user, it defaults to a year, and so they can both look at number of deferrals and numbers of failures. So if this was a PM which was being deferred several times in the last year, it would sort of warn you that something was going on here and that you have to think carefully about your decision. And someone might well know that this is a bad acting piece of equipment, but they might not if they were less experienced. And likewise, you've got the number of failures here. So if you're seeing a few failures and some deferrals, it's sort of supporting the decision-making process here by providing sort of history that's available in Maximo at the point of making a decision. So something that our customers have responded well to, and the sort of thing that, for example, some of our customers will talk about high reliability, operating as a high reliability organization, and this ability to make information available at the point of making a decision is something that supports that high reliability organization. So if we can move to slide 46, this just describes the standard actions application, which is quite a simple application which is designed to support both the generation and management of pre- and post-MOC actions and standard actions that you might apply in the action tracking application. So, this then very quickly allows a customer to add in standard actions to action tracking and MOC. So by standardization, it's providing greater conformity with the, you know, a company can set up these and predefine these standard actions, and and allow sort of a consistent use of and definition of actions in both action tracking and management of change. And if you turn to slide 47, a simple screenshot of the screen which we provide to manage these actions. We move to slide 48. I talked earlier on in the presentation about the support for ISO 14224 2006 and API 689. This is a key feature of our new release. This is the first time that we've had the ability to be able to support this new data, which is now part of API 689. So many customers have been asking for this, so important for you to be aware sales situation of the difference and the additional information that we provide here in 7.1. Not something that's going to be available in 6.1, but moving forward from 7.1. This is providing you know, the ability to do much more consistent failure reporting and improved availability of the plant that can be the result of better, more consistent failure reporting. And because the consistent reporting of failures facilitates the improved reliability and analysis of the data in your Maximo system. So that completes my review of the refresh of the existing applications and a review of the new applications. Just like to say that we here in the Maximo development team, we really want to support your efforts out there in the field. We've had very positive customer response and very active market out there for our oil and gas solution. So many of you out there are working with already. So, but we're always here to support you. So you know, feel free to get in touch, and if we can help you in any way, of the myself or other members of the Maximo development team, we're ready to do that and support your success in the field. So from me, happy selling, and I'd like to now just pass you back to Terry to close the Tivoli talk today.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Russell. That was an excellent summary of existing and new features in Maximo Oil and Gas 7.1. If you take a look at slide number 50, you can see here that we have, if you're in need of additional information, it can be found on multiple sites, Extreme Leverage, the Chemicals and Petroleum Wiki, and on the customer reference site. And additional contacts are your Chemicals and Petroleum teams, as well as the Maximo sales teams. The enablement efforts are led by Stephen Lee on the technical side and Hisham on the sales enablement side. And if you turn to slide number 51, you will see the link to the Tivoli Knowledge Center and the Business Partner Portal. And then finally on slide number 52, just picking up on Russell's comment about the team, there are a number of resources that you can go to, and here we have a couple of the cards, Russell, myself, and then Eric Lyer, who is the product marketing individual working with us, representing the industrial and manufacturing in the oil and gas sector. So with that, I would like to close. Thank you very much for your time, and happy selling, and we look forward to connecting in a future time. Thank you.